everybody. This is Marissa Carpico, the film editor at thepopbreak.com. I am here with my co-host, Matt Taylor. Say hello, Matt.
Hi, everybody.
And we're here for the final category episode of the year. We were doing a bit for the Way Too Early Oscar podcast, where we were going to pair animated feature film, director and picture. And guess what? It's happening, baby. We have literally just seen the final film we needed to watch. Down to the wire here at the Too Early Oscar podcast. And that film is in the animated feature film category. The nominees are The Boy and the Heron, Hayao Miyazaki and Toshio Suzuki, Elemental, Peter Son and Denise Rehm, Nimona, Nick Bruno, Troy Quayne, Karen Ryan and Julie Zachary, Robot Dreams, Pablo Berger, Ivan Cormenzana, Ignacy Estape and Sandra Tapia Diaz. Spider-Man Across the Universe, Kemp Powers, Justin K. Thompson, Phil Lord, Christopher Miller, and Amy Pascal. Matt, why don't you talk about what do you think will win, what should win, why we had to wait to see this, do this one?
Well, we had to wait because we really thought we were not going to be able to see Robot Dreams prior to recording. And I was really kicking myself because... it played at just about every film festival imaginable in this fall. And there were so many times when I was like, should I go see this today? And I was like, no, it won't be nominated. not that was like an indication of quality, just that like, I'm busy. And you know, by some stroke of luck, it was playing today. They were recording. Just a few days before the Oscars at the Alamo Drafthouse, and we jumped to the chance to go get tickets for it because otherwise you wouldn't be completionists, so that's just not, you know, part of our story. But I will say this one will be getting Robot Dreams will be getting a release from Neon in May 2024. Don't ask me how it qualifies for this year's Oscars, but that's none of my business. It's very good. You should all go see it when it comes out.
That's none of my business. It's true. It's not our business. We don't release movies.
No, exactly. Am I sort of side-eyeing it getting nominated? Maybe a little, but not in terms of quality, because it is quite good.
And, yeah. If it were bad, I think we'd be like making a bigger deal of it.
Yeah, we would be, our knives would be out, but it's good. So we're like, all right, like politely clapping. Honestly, the funny thing with this category is I liked all five movies. Like, even we've joked before, both on and off the pod, that we might be the only people who like Elemental, and it is deeply uncool of us to like it. But
deeply humiliating. The most humiliating thing about the year, really, besides watching Flamin' Hot.
All the complaints about Elemental's lore being very confusing, I agree completely. That being said, I was very charmed by it. And I don't know who will win or honestly who should win, because like a part of me going into the season thought that The Boy and the Heron had this locked up because the narrative was like Miyazaki's last film. You know, that alone is just a huge narrative, and then the film ends up being like very uniformly praised, things like that. Mm-hmm. It's a minor hit over here in the US, so like it just seemed kind of like set for success. But Spider-Verse was also like a real moment this year. Yeah. And has been doing really well with the precursors. I liked both films a lot. I probably slightly prefer Spider-Verse of the two, if only because it has like three different moments that I remember being in the theater and just being like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen on a big screen. The shot from the trailer of them, Gwen and Miles on top of that building, like sitting upside down and everything like that, chills in the theater. I was like, this is incredible. And honestly, I think all five, Elemental is definitely the worst of these five, I would say, but like I do think all five are like fun nominees, and I can't really predict who wins, and I'm kind of excited because I think no matter what, I'll be happy. Like it might be the recency bias talking. I wouldn't even mind if Robot Dreams won. It might be my favorite of the five. Who's to say? Very, very good category this year, I think, from someone who is not an animation person.
Famously not an animation girly. And yeah, I have to say, this is probably one of our better nominee like groups that we've ever had to do for an animated feature film when we've been doing this podcast. Because usually there's one that we're like, you know, stinker. But Wish wasn't nominated this year, so we don't have to do that. But
I never have to see it. I envy you that. I will never have to watch Wish.
I envy you that. Because, yeah, I like all of these on some level. I mean, we talked about, you know, the little derpy parakeets and Boy and the Heron are, like, so great.
Then with the knives, it's one of my
favorite. Oh, they're so wonderful. Menacing, but also stupid. And Elemental, I mean, truly, I saw way before you did. And I was like, oh, no, girl, this thing is good. I loved it. Because, like, truly, you know, if I were a kid, I just think I would look at that. There's a moment when they're sort of the two characters are talking about, you know, one of them is fire and one of them is water. And they're like, we can't ever touch, yet we are in love. And they're like at the beach. And there's this bizarre, complete non sequitur insert shot of the sun just dipping into the water as the sun sets. And I went, ooh, like that's a little too sexy for y'all. That's a little, I don't know about that. Like that, I was shocked, actually. Like, I think this is a little, like, as a kid, I think I would have been like, wow, I'm really responding to that moment. I don't really know why, though. But, like, you know, as an adult, I was like, oh, my God.
we need an adult here, honestly.
I need an adult. Elemental, I was impressed by. Nimona's great. It finally pushed me to read that comic book, which I've had on my iPad for probably 5 years. Since it came out, most likely. The animation is wonderful. And I think the film itself, like, sort of fixes some narrative issues that I had with the collection, because, I mean, that was an online comic. So, you know, there's different needs. Robot Dreams nearly destroyed us. And mm-hmm. Spider-Man Across the Universe is like, you know, or Spider-Verse is like, these are, like, that's a groundbreaking piece of cinema. I don't like the narrative very much. Like, I hate it's got, you know, second movie sequelitis kind of thing. But otherwise, it's, you know, it's visual splendor on a grand scale. So, yeah, I wouldn't be mad at any of these. I still kind of think if I have to pick one, I think it'll be Spider-Verse. But it could be Boy and the Heron. But truly, I would be happy to see any of them win. You and I would have to defend the shit out of Elemental a bit one, though.
Which is... I don't know if I want to spend much energy defending Disney, but it's a good rom-com. It's a very cute rom-com.
And what do we love more than rom-coms, you and I? Little to nothing. It's true. Madam Web is the only other thing we love more than that. okay.
Which will, of course, win Best Picture next year.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, that and Lisa Frankenstein are the two Best Picture nominees at this point. Everything else, sorry to you. Directing. The nominees are Anatomy of a Fall, Justine Triet, Killers of the Flower Moons, Martin Scorsese, Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan, Poor Things, Yorgos Lanthimos, and The Zone of Interest, Jonathan Glazer. Another solid group. You know, I think Triet is the sort of like, you know, not surprise nominee, but like less heavy hitter technically in this group. But listen, Anatomy of a Fall is a very popular film and brilliantly directed. You can't argue with it. However, this does finally feel like the year Christopher Nolan's going to win one. You know, he was robbed a couple times, specifically for Dunkirk a couple years ago. So this is wonderful that he'll finally win one. He won the DGA. But, you know, I think any one of these people would be great. That's, you know, what am I going to argue with? Yorgos Lanthimos or Scorsese? Of course not. But yeah, actually, I am happy with Nolan winning because, like, I'm like 50-50 on his oeuvre, but, like, I think Oppenheimer's great, you know? I'd like him to win for something like this instead of some piece of shit like Interstellar. Matt, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be him at this point. Like, I can't imagine anything else. I know I've been reading about, like, there's a last-minute swell of interest, pun not intended, around the Zone of Interest, and like I think Glazer would be a very worthy winner just in terms of sheer skill.
Yeah.
But like no, Nolan has the narrative, and he deserves it. It's great work that he's done, and yeah, I completely agree. I love Dunkirk, and I kind of remember in 2017 feeling like this will probably be the peak of his skill, technically speaking. And then he goes and does this, and I'm like, oh no, like, this is so much better. And I really think it would be a great win. I think a lot about Scorsese, like, who obviously is also in director this year, and how his only director win so far is for The Departed, which is a fine film, but is nowhere near, like, one of the films you point to for, like, one of his greats. And yeah. I just think, like, it's so cool that with Nolan, you know, it will be one of his greats, like, a movie that will be, that is a very big deal, mm-hmm. and that he'll get the best director for. So I'm very excited for this. I think it's a great win. Or, you know, a great future win.
Yes, knock on wood. Any, I didn't ask if you had any alternates for animation, because I'm sure you don't, but for do you have any for director?
It's the sort of thing clearly they never got close, because this movie severely underperformed at the nominations. I think what Todd Haynes does in May-December is sort of a miracle of tone, because, like, that movie is so funny, but also, like, so deeply serious and about, like, such dark subject matter and about really damaged people. So it's just the way he's able to pull it off, I just think, is so impressive, and, like, him at the top of his game. And then similarly, in just terms of, like, sheer skill on display, Wim Wenders from The Perfect Days is doing that movie is such a challenge. It's, you know, there's no real plot. It just kind of follows this guy day to day.
There's almost no dialogue.
Yeah, for long stretches, there's no dialogue. And it somehow tells this full story and shows this full portrait of this this character. And it's very impressive work. I really wish those two movies, and Perfect Days got an international nomination, which is very exciting, but I wish those movies got a little more love, because I think they're both just amongst the year's best.
Yeah. The only one I would put out there is Ava DuVernay for Origin, because I just think that film is great, and that she is such an audacious filmmaker, and she takes risks in a way that I just don't think we see a lot. And I appreciate that, because I never walk out of her films feeling bored. I'm always moved in some way. And the other one would be Sean Durkin for Ironclaw, which, again, we just keep mentioning, because it's so bizarre that, like, people just pretended it didn't exist. I don't get it. Okay, so Best Picture, the big one. Lots of nominees. The nominees are American Fiction, Ben LeClaire, Nikos Kamigos, Cord Jefferson, and Jermaine Johnson. Anatomy of a Fall, Marie-Ange Luciani and David Theon. Barbie, David Heyman, Margot Robbie, Tom Ackerley, and Robbie Brenner. The Holdovers, Mark Johnson, Killers of the Flower Moon, Dan Friedkin, Bradley Thomas, Martin Scorsese, and Daniel Lupi, Maestro, Bradley Cooper, Steven Spielberg, Fred Berner, Amy Durning, Christy McCosco-Krieger, Oppenheimer, Emma Thomas, Charles Roven, and Christopher Nolan, Past Lives, David Hinojosa, Christine Vachon, and Pamela Coughler, Poor Things, Ed Gein, Andrew Lowe, Yorgos Lanthimos, and Emma Stone. The Zone of Interest, James Wilson. Lots of producers on the including two wonderful actresses. Let's see. What do you think is going to win at this point? And would you want something else to win?
At this point, I can't imagine a world where it's not Oppenheimer. If anything else won, I would be shocked.
Spoiler. Big, huge.
Yeah, huge. But I can't be mad. Oppenheimer is probably my favorite movie of the year.
Yeah.
And I will say, just in general, this is one of the strongest Best Picture lineups we've had in a minute, I think. Truly, I liked every film. Obviously, some more than others. But, like, I don't think I'll ever probably watch Anatomy of a Fall or Maestro again, but, like, they're movies that I greatly enjoyed seeing in the theater, and I recommend wholeheartedly to most people that I talk to. So good year, I think, honestly. And I would be, you know, congratulations to Oppenheimer. It that just that whole experience this summer of the following the box office, like just an R-rated 3-hour biopic becoming this box office phenomenon. What a moment that was, and I was just so happy to, you know, be able to talk about a movie for grown-ups with basically everybody that I knew. So thank you, Christopher Nolan, for that one.
I think it'll probably be Oppenheimer. You know, and some part of me would love to see a Barbie spoiler, honestly, even though it'll literally never happen. But I just think it would be like, I don't know, such a gag.
Because it would be a gag.
Because that film is well regarded, and you know, I'm just thinking of the ranked choice voting of it all. Let's say something doesn't get 50%. What's the next thing on people's list? I wouldn't be surprised if the next thing on people's list is Barbie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, I just feel like it's high enough rated that it, in a ranked choice voting situation where it goes one or two rounds extra, that has a really good chance. That said, so with something like Killers of the Flower Moon. So yeah, like I think there's a lot of contenders here realistically that like if there were a spoiler, it would probably be something like Killers of the Flower Moon, Zone of Interest, or Barbie. But like realistically, it's going to be Oppenheimer. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I like Oppenheimer a lot. You know, it's got two of my girls in them and they do share a sex scene technically. So I can't argue.
I always think of you whenever I watch the movie and I see that scene.
Chris said that was for me. I was like, he got me. He really got me. Because he's like, you know, she makes fun of me a lot. I'm going to get her. And I was like, damn, he got me.
And listen, people, it's one of the best sex scenes in recent memory in a movie. I don't want to hear other
You know, the interesting thing is we've never gotten to talk about it because we just have talked about other things, I suppose. But like, you know, for me, it's the first time he's actually attempted to dive into the mindset of a woman, aka Emily Blunt's character, in maybe his entire career. And it's the most credible time he's ever written at a female character. And everybody's like, oh, this sucks. And it's like, guys, where were you the last 10 movies? Where were you when we were talking about Anne Hathaway and Interstellar? I can't express enough. So like, I don't know. I think we can't give him a win when, or a loss when there's clearly a win there, and also a win for me personally.
Exactly.
I blacked out when that happened in the theater and then ascended, you know, I just floated to the top of the theater and then sort of bouncing around the ceiling like a little balloon.
I just imagine your body like falling onto the floor.
Somebody's like, what was that? Something hit the ground. It's just me sprawled in the aisle. Okay. What are your other thoughts for that could have been nominated for Best Picture, even though this is a pretty strong category in which we like almost everything? The only thing I maybe don't promote or like wouldn't suggest is Past Lives, honestly. That is soured in my mind as time has gone on.
I mean, not to sound like a broken record, the Iron Claw is the big one. Baby. I'm just like, where are my boys? It's like, that movie has stuck with me so much. It's like, especially like the last scene, it's one of those last scenes where if I think about it for too long, I will start tearing up. And, I think a lot in terms of like legacy when it comes to Oscars and things like that. And like, you know, Oppenheimer is a movie that like absolutely I think will be talked about for years to come, because just for the box office of it all, like it's just a big milestone in post-COVID box office. But but like I can't help but think 10 years from now people are going to watch The Iron Claw and be like, damn, why didn't this sweep everything? It is so good. And as someone who's been a fan of Sean Durkin since his debut, I'm just like, you know, thrilled to see him level up, and I'm excited to see where he goes next from this. And excited to, as heavy as this movie is, you know, see it again and just kind of return to it, because I do think it's a very, very good drama.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been one of mine, honestly. You know, I'm not going to mention Rocky or Ronnie again in a real way because, international feature, it's already been put up there. And I've also talked about it 15 times. You know, it's my favorite movie of the year at this point. and it realistically, it never had a chance. But I think in a different year with different marketing, Origin would have been involved in this conversation. And I really think it was a great film. And it's just like buried. Most people didn't even hear about it, I feel like. So I just think it's a shame that I feel like that's another one that in 10 years people are going to be like, oh, yeah, this is nominated for some stuff. And then it's like, oh, it made like no money and nobody saw it. Crazy. So, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like both of those films are like such good movies that I saw that I'll think about for a long time. And, you know, nobody talked about it. Okay, so that wraps up our Oscar recap, as it were, of all the nominations. We'll have an actual recap of the show after the Oscars air. Usually we try to record, well, we record it right away and then we try to post it right away. Maybe it might be in the morning. Who knows? The day that you're listening to this, realistically, that should go up in the late night evening. Of that same day. So look out for that. We're usually quite unhinged depending on what happens in the ceremony. Hopefully it's just like a normal King ceremony this year. We can't keep doing this, you know?
I've been going in a wine. I'm in my wine era right now, so I might.
You are in your wine era. I can't confirm.
I might be a little wine tipsy. We'll see what happens. So,
maybe we should do an edible beforehand like we do at Red Drag Race.
Get truly crazy.
Oh my God. All right. Until then, you can catch me on thepopbreak.com, occasionally writing reviews, and, you know, having many podcasts, I'm sure. We'll plug the other podcast out in the next one. Matt, where are you? I'm at Mercy Corp Bigo everywhere, and you're at one place, basically.
Matt T on Letterboxd.
Yep. There it is. And get him before he goes private, if they ever make
it. Yep. Listen, famously,
countdown's on. Yeah, the moment it happens, even I'm going to be like, Matt, did you delete your Letterboxd?
No, you're going to be there, Marissa. You'll make the cut.
Don't worry. I know, I will. All right. Thank you for listening, everyone.